Tonight I'm going to use as my text John chapter 1, verse 16, where the Bible says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Let me just say this before I start. I need preaching just as much as you do. And I preach to myself, but I need other people to preach to me as well. And so I get different sermon tapes, and I get Christian newspapers, and I probably listen to three or four sermons a week. And one of the preachers that I get sermons from is from the church where Adam and Chantel go. So Chantel, if you see anything similar between what I preach and what your preacher has preached, it's probably because I've listened to his message and decided I liked it so much that I'm just going to share it. So besides, repetition is good. You probably didn't listen the first time, so you need to hear it a second time. but I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled Grace for Grace. And again, using that verse 16, that last phrase where it says, or the whole verse, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed that phrase before as you've read the first chapter of John, but tonight I'm going to help you understand what that phrase means, grace for grace. My desire is that when you leave this place in about a half an hour or so, you will know what God means when he says there in John chapter 1, verse 16, grace for grace. And I hope when you understand what it means that you'll go out rejoicing and you'll say once again, man, what a good God we got. What a wonderful God that we have. Look at verse 14 if you still have your Bible open, and I got to lay a little foundation before I get to that phrase, so stay with me for a little bit. "And the Word was made flesh." Who was that Word that was made flesh? Jesus. "And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And who's the only begotten of the Father? Jesus. "Full of grace and truth." Now, I want you to notice that. The Bible says there about Jesus, and again, two different phrases in that verse that identifies who the verse is talking about. The Word that was made flesh, of course, the book of John starts in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. That's talking about Christ. Talking about Jesus. He was the Word that was made flesh. And then it says the only begotten of the Father. Again, Jesus. And it says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. I want you to think just for a few minutes as we start tonight what those two words mean. First, think for a few moments about the word grace. Somebody has said that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, using the letters. God's riches at Christ's expense. Somebody else has said grace is unmerited favor. We often compare the concepts of mercy with grace. And mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. So, grace. And it says truth. Think about truth for a moment. What's truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Christ is truth. The Bible, talking about itself, says the Bible is truth. Contrast truth with lies, or contrast truth with untruth. Who's the father of all lies? Satan. And if we think about Jesus being truth, we can think of the opposite of that. I was trying to think of a big word to impress you, but I couldn't say it. We can think of the opposite of that, the antithesis. I don't know if that's the way you say it or not, but the opposite of that, of the truth, is lies. And if Jesus is truth, and then we can say Satan is lies. And so that verse says that Jesus is full of both of those things. He's full of grace and truth. And yet if we go back further in John chapter 14 to a verse I've already quoted, Jesus speaking of himself says, and that phrase says, "Not let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place to you." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He does not say about himself, "I am the way, the grace, the truth, and the life. Now, he's full of both, both grace and truth, but he says, I am the truth, and I submit to you tonight, and the foundation of my message tonight, and to get this concept of what it means grace for grace, I submit to you tonight and ask you to think about that grace is the way that God gets us to the truth. Grace is the way that God gets us to the truth. Now, I want to illustrate this for you tonight, so I need some help. So, Brother Leonard, if you would come, and Brian, if you would come, and Brother Dick, if you would come. And Brother Dick, I need you to go over here on this side. I'll just do it down here. Brother Dick, you go over here, and then Brian, you and Brother Leonard, you go over here on this side, just down there on the main floor. And so here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to let Dick represent Jesus. He's the truth. We're going to let Brother Leonard represent Satan. He's a lie. He's a lie. Don't laugh. I mean, it's just representative. I know all you guys in his Sunday school class, yeah, after we heard his testimony, you got good typecasting, but no, he's a change. All things have become new. And I got a good testimony to share with you after church tonight, Brother Leonard, remind me. So here's what happens. All of us, when we're born with a sin nature. And we get that from our mom and dad. It came from Adam and Eve. We reach the age of accountability. That age, the Bible doesn't use that term, but that age when we first realize the difference between right and wrong. First time we realize we're about to make a choice, and we realize this is the wrong choice, this is the right choice. And the first time we choose wrong, our sin nature has blossomed and we become a sinner. See, I don't believe until we reach that age of accountability that God destines us for hell. I think little babies that die that don't know the difference between right and wrong go to heaven. Because even though they're born with a sin nature, they haven't reached that age in their life where they've made that conscious choice between right and wrong. And so that first time that we choose the wrong choice, we become trapped by sin. And so we're going to let Brian represent all of us. And so, Brother Leonard, just grab him. Give him a big bear hug there. You represent Satan and you represent the lie. And when we commit that first sin, this is what happens to us. Satan gets a hold of us and we are bound by sin. The Bible says we're a slave of sin. And here's what Satan does. When he's got us in his grip, he'll come over and whisper in our ear, just like Satan does, say, "Don't worry, everything's okay. Just go ahead and enjoy life, and when you die, you're dead, and there ain't nothing else." And that's Satan's lie. And by the way, he's the father of all lies, and even though he's got you in his grip, he still continues to lie, and he says, "Don't worry about your condition. There's nothing after this life. Just go ahead, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die," and that's it. And left to ourselves, we don't know any better. Left to ourselves, we're not only a slave to that sin, we're not only all tied up with that sin, but the Bible says we are dead. We're dead. And we have no desire to come out of that position. We have no desire to change anything. We don't know that there's anything better. We're dead. And Satan has lied to us, and we believe him, and that's it. Now, Jesus comes, full of truth and grace. And the truth comes to the sinner that's bound by sin and bound by Satan, and the truth says, you stay over there, Brother Dick, the truth says, "Hey, Satan's a liar. He's lying to you. There is something after this life. This life, just when you die, it's not over. You got all eternity to spend. And because you're a sinner, the penalty for that sin is death." Now, again, just like I was talking about this morning, not just physical death, but spiritual death, where you're separated from Christ now, and you're going to be separated forever in that place called hell. Now, here's the truth. God loves you. God loves you. And he sent his only begotten son to die for you on Calvary to pay for your sin. That's the truth. Amen? That's the truth. You see, without the truth, this sinner has no hope of breaking this bond that sin has on him. He has no hope. He doesn't know any better. There are people today that in this world that are tied up with sin, that are happy in their sin, because nobody's told them about Jesus. Nobody's told them that there's a better way. Nobody told them that this existence that they live is death, and Christ offers life. So somebody comes to this sinner and tells him the truth about Christ. And this sinner, by faith, responds to that truth and by grace breaks the hold that sin has on him. Now let me just remind you of a couple scriptures. In John chapter 6, verse 44, the Bible says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." We as sinners cannot come to the Father. We cannot approach Christ unless God draws us, unless God woos us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 10, 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So somebody takes the truth, the word of God. They go over to this sinner bound by sin. They tell him the truth that God loves him, that God sent his son on Calvary's cross to pay for his sin. And by grace, God draws us to himself through faith, which God has given to every single person, enough faith to get saved. By grace, through faith, that power that sin has over each of us is broken, and that person that was captive to sin is no longer bound by sin, no longer does Satan have a grip on him. He's set free from his sin. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And when we got saved, that's exactly what happened to every single one of us. We broke the grip that sin had on us, and we were set free by grace and by truth. So here's a sinner, just got saved. Is he in truth yet? No, where's truth? There's truth way over there. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, he's a lot closer to truth than when he was wrapped up by Satan. And he's got a little bit of the truth, but the truth is still a ways away. Now, he's got to get to that truth. Now, what gets us closer to the truth? What makes us, if we're in this position, move toward that position? Here's my message tonight. Grace does. Grace is the thing that God uses to help us move from this position, or any position in between where Brother Leonard is and where Brother Dick is, any position that we're in. Grace is what gets us to move toward that position. Now, I want to make five statements tonight that are my message. And by the way, let me tell you before I make any of those five statements, even though Satan has lost his grip on this sinner, he'd still like to mess around with him. You see, Satan wants us to live as close as possible to sin. He wants us to stay in the shadow of his lies. And even though he's lost our eternal soul, Satan doesn't quit lying. He'll lie to us about our marriages and how we should be husbands and wives. He'll lie to us about our children. He'll lie to us about our finances. He'll lie to us about every area of our life. Because even though he's lost our soul, he wants to mess up our testimony. You see, the Bible says, "You are the salt of the earth." And God expects us to be salt. He expects us to preserve and to flavor the world as we reach people for Christ. But if Satan can keep us close to him, if he can keep us in the shadow of sin, then he messes up our testimony. And what does the Bible say? Salt, if it's good for nothing, be cast out and trodden underfoot. And there are many Christians that got saved, they're on their way to heaven, but they haven't taken any steps closer to truth than Brian has yet. And Satan would just like to keep us right here close to him. Now, make five statements. And when I get to statement number three, it's where grace for grace comes in. Statement number one. It's important as we move toward truth that we face truth. Look, Brian would be a lot better off this way, facing that way, than he would if he was over here facing that way. You say, well, he's closer to truth. Yeah, I know he is, but he's headed in the wrong direction. He's facing the wrong direction. And again, he'd be much better off over here facing this way than he would over here facing this way. Because you see, we head in the direction that we face. Just like our Sunday school lesson was talking to us about this morning, about how to stay pure. You don't stay pure, even though you might be closer to the truth, looking at Satan and his lies. You don't. Because here's what happens. And Lot in the book of Genesis is a wonderful example. Remember when Lot and Abraham had a disagreement between their herdsmen because the land wasn't able to bear all their animals? And Abraham said to Lot, hey, look, there's a big land before us. Take your choice. And the Bible says that Lot turned his eyes toward the plain of Jordan toward Sodom. He looked toward Satan. And then what happened next? He pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the next thing you read about him, he's living in Sodom. And the next thing you read about, he's sitting in the gate at Sodom. He's become a leader in the city. So much he would have been so much better, and this is not part of the sermon, but he would have been so much better to say, no, Uncle Abraham, you make the choice for me. You pick, I'll take whatever I'll live wherever you tell me to live. And Abraham would have had enough wisdom to not have him face toward Sodom. So the direction that you are headed is important. Turn your back on the world. Just go ahead, when you get saved, just go ahead and turn your back on the world. I was talking to a lady at lunch. I went out to lunch with Terry and his family to sort of help him celebrate getting baptized. And his sister went with us, and I was talking to her, and she said, yeah, I'm trying to quit smoking. I said, well, just get rid of all your cigarettes. She said, what do you mean? I said, I guarantee you that if you threw every cigarette out of the house and had to go to the store when you wanted a cigarette, you'd probably smoke a lot less cigarettes than you do. I mean, if you keep them in the nightstand, and I'm telling her this, keep them in the nightstand, keep them in the kitchen drawer, you make it easy for yourself to get a cigarette. Hey, turn your face toward the truth. Turn your face toward right. Don't live your life looking at the things of the world, because sooner or later that world's going to pull you in and you're going to end up right back where you were. So when you get saved and you set out to live the Christian life and you want to move toward truth, because by the way, God wants us to get as close as possible over here. He wants to get us to the truth. He wants us to live in the truth. And let me just mention to you, we don't, unless God draws us, we won't head over that way. We won't. We'll be content to stay right here. And it's God that draws us toward truth. So the direction that you're headed is important. Step number two, we're not going to make that journey in one step. Brian and I are pretty tall and we got big legs, but even if we got to run and start, he might be able to do it, but I sure can't. There is no way we're going to make that distance in one step. It's going to be a process. It's going to take time. And sometimes we as Christians get impatient with ourselves. And here's what happened. Here's what Satan does. Boy, you sure are a sorry Christian. You've been saved for 6 months and look at the little distance that you've come. You might as well just give up, turn around, and come back to me, bud, because you ain't never going to make it. And if we think that we're going to make this journey in one single step, watch out, because Satan's going to be right behind us, whispering in our ear, and he's going to get us. Now look, you don't expect a little child that's born 2 months ago, 6 months ago, or even 16 years ago to make it on their own. They still got growing up to do. That's why God gave us as parents to them. I mean, even those that are 20 and 30 and 40 and older still need help from mom and dad at times. And so don't get impatient with yourself, because when you get impatient with yourself, you say, man, what a sorry Christian I am. I've been saved for a year, I've been saved for 2 years, and I haven't made much progress toward truth. Be careful, you're setting yourself up, you're letting Satan in. Now, you ought to be making progress. God doesn't want us to live here. But don't get discouraged if 6 months after you're saved, if you're not over here, because it's a process. And it's God that draws us. Now, here's how God works. And again, I'm going to use something that we'll all understand, but when I get to the end, I'll make the application. Hey, Brian, you want a dollar? Do you? Okay, you got to take a step toward me. Now, did he deserve that dollar? Huh? No, he didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing to deserve that dollar. God was giving him grace, something that he didn't deserve. And that grace moved him a step closer to the truth, right? That's the way God works. Hey, Brian, tell you what, I'll give you $2 if you give me that dollar back. Deal? Ain't no trick in this, bud. I don't know why I use him. He always tries to figure out what I'm doing. I'll give you $2 for that one. Got to step and take a step closer. Now, what was that? Did he deserve those $2? What was that? Grace. Grace for grace. Huh? Grace for grace. Look how much further he is to the truth. Hey, I tell you what. I'll give you $5 for those $2. Good deal? Got to take a step closer. What was that? Did he deserve $5? No, if he didn't deserve a buck, he sure didn't deserve five. So what was it? Grace for grace. All right? Hey, this is getting better all the time, isn't it? I'll give you 10 for that five. What do you think? Got to take a step closer. Now, again, grace for grace. One more time. Hey, Brian, I'll give you 20 for the 10. What do you think? Got to take a step closer. Now, this is the way God works. Grace for grace. You see, like I said before, none of us will come to the truth by ourselves. We won't. We'll be content to dwell over here, closer to sin, than we will over here to truth. But God knows, hey, the good stuff in the Christian life is over here. But you don't see that when you're over there. And so God says, I gotta somehow entice you. I gotta somehow get you over here close to truth so that you can see the truth is a whole lot better than Satan lies. Here's what Satan says. I'll just give you a couple examples. Satan says, hey, you cannot afford to tithe. You know how much money you make. You know how much 10% would be. You just can't afford to give that to the church. Now, truth says, hey, you can't outgive God. I mean, you give the 10%, and God may not bless you with money, but he'll bless you with a whole lot more blessings than you can even think about. I mean, just trust God. Now, when we're over there, we can't understand that. But the closer we get over here, the more we see that truth is right. And so what God has to do is trade us grace for grace to get us moving in this direction. Here's what Satan says. Hey, you know, you'd be a whole lot better off if you trade your wife for a new one. That's a world philosophy, isn't it? Hey, you've been married for 15, 20 years? Trade in the old model, get a new model. And Satan will whisper that to us. But the truth says, hey, you want to know what the best year of marriage is? This one. The one you're in. You talk to these folks that have been married 40 and 50 years, and you ask them, what's the best year of marriage? Talk to Brother Earl. He'll tell you the best year of marriage he and Millie had was the last one. Because through the years, their love grew stronger and stronger and stronger. You young people just got married. You say, oh, yeah, boy, that first year of marriage, boy, what a great year of marriage. You ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, now come on, stay with me. It's the rough times that makes it better. You go through the rough times together and you get closer and closer and closer. Now, we don't understand that when we're back here, but as God trades us grace for grace and we get closer to the truth, then we see that God knows what He's talking about. And it's the same thing when it comes to children. It's the same thing when it comes, like I illustrated, in our finances. The more we get to truth, the more we see, hey, truth works. And by the way, the blessings is not just money. It's peace and joy and patience, all the fruits of the Spirit that God talks about in Galatians chapter 5. We don't understand those things when we're over here close to Satan. But I tell you what, the closer we get over here to truth, we see that God knows what He's talking about. Who better that knows how to order our lives than the one that made us? And again, we can't see it over here, but the closer we get here, the better off we'll be. Okay, two more statements and I'm done. Herb, you come up here for just a minute, would you? Here's something else that God does in His grace. You stand right here. Brian, you face that way again. God, in His grace, makes it easy for us to go that way and hard for us to go that way. Let's say Brian says, you know, I'm closer and closer to truth, but boy, the world looks back there looks pretty good. So he says, I'm going to turn around. I think we'll go back this way. And that's exactly what God does to us. Closer and closer we get to the truth, we may want to turn around, but He's got a big obstacle in our way and said, hey, I'm going to go that way. And thank God that He gives us parents that do the same thing. All the little kids tonight that are here, you ought to be thankful if you have a mom and dad that spank you every now and then. You ought to be glad you have a mom and dad that sets some rules. And when you break those rules, there's a consequence. Because this is exactly what they're trying to get you to do. They're trying to get you to do right. They're trying to get you to obey. They're trying to get you to get closer and closer to God. And what they're doing is they're making it harder for you to do wrong. They're making it because if you decide, well, I know that I should obey my mom, but I'm just going to disobey. She told me to pick up my toys. I'm not going to do it. And we turn around and, uh-oh. There's mom or dad with the belt or the switch. I think I'll pick up my toys. And thank God for parents that do that. Thank you, Herb. Now, point number 5, and then I'm done. The fifth thing that grace does is that grace notices the progress. And grace commends us for the progress. Take a step closer, Brian. Hey, look at that. Man, he is really getting good, isn't he? He's getting closer and closer to the truth. Look at how far he's come from the lies of Satan. Isn't that good? Amen? Take a step closer. Oh, man, he's really doing good now. Look at how close he's getting the truth. Now, here's what we do sometimes. Take a little half step backwards. Well, look at that lousy Christian. He's backsliding. He's just falling back. You know, look, if that's the way that we treat each other, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to go like this. Let me give you an example that you'll understand. You ladies whose husband's still working. Let's say they've worked a lot of overtime and they've been coming home late every night. And so one night, they get home early. And you say to them, what are you doing home? Why aren't you working? Where's the overtime? We need that money. What are you doing? I wasn't expecting you for another 2 hours. What, they kick you out? Did you do something wrong? You get penalized? You get sent home? You think he's going to come home early tomorrow? I sure wouldn't. Even if I didn't have to work, I'd find someplace else to go. But if you said, hey, honey, it's so nice to have you home early tonight. I've made your favorite meal. We'll put the kids to bed early. And you can take it from there. You know what he's going to start thinking? You know what I start thinking? Hey, this thing of coming home early is not so bad. I may try it again tomorrow night. And that's what I'm talking about. As Christians draw closer to truth, let's notice it. Hey, great job. Great job. Thank you, guys. Grace for grace. It's how God gets us closer to truth. Haven't we got a good God? Huh? Haven't we got a wonderful God? I mean, not only wonderful because he got us out of the grasp of Satan, but he uses that same grace to get us closer and closer and closer to the truth. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you need to take advantage of the first grace that God offers to every person. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. If you're a Christian, God wants you to move in that direction. He wants you to get closer and closer to the truth. And he will trade you grace for grace as you make that journey. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth that's in this book. Thank you that we can appropriate that truth for our life. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night they make that decision and they break the grip that sin has on their life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And so I pray, Father, if there's just even one tonight that's never accepted Christ, that tonight would be the night they'd make that decision. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here as we're on this journey, all at different places along the spectrum of life, as we make that journey. Thank you for spending grace to get us closer to the truth. Bless the invitation, Father. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.